Welcome to Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here, joined by our very special guest today, O.J. Howard. O.J., thanks for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
Before we get into last game, this game, all of that, I got to know your touchdown, your first one. How similar exactly was that to your last one that you had in your college career? Everyone's been talking about how close they looked.
It was pretty similar. Definitely the same sideline. I was open the same way. I mean, it kind of was deja vu. And once I caught the ball, I saw it in the air, and I was like, man, this is crazy.
Was that how it was designed? Did you guys have any idea that you would be that wide open?
Yeah, it was designed to be a bootleg and sneak out back door, but, you know, not that open. Yeah. You know, that was wide open. So,
did you chip anybody or anything first to make it look like you're
standing? Yeah, I did. I came down like I was going to block, and, you know, I snuck out behind the linebackers, and it was just super open.
Did you even know how open you were in the moment? Like, did you know just how much space you had?
No, I didn't. You know, the ball was in the air, and I caught it, and then you could kind of tell I, like, looked around. I was like, okay,
where is everyone?
Yeah.
I've always wondered if those plays where you know you're wide open are harder to catch the ball than the ones that are just right there.
Absolutely.
And think about it.
Absolutely, because you got time to think about
all the ways you cannot catch it.
Exactly. Yep.
That's so funny. So for you now, I mean, we're basically more than a fourth of the way through the season already, which is crazy to think about. So how different do you already even feel maybe than when you started? Do you feel like there's been a lot of progression already?
Yeah, I do. Definitely from a mental aspect, you know, just, you know, soaking it all in, you know, with the offense, you know, letting it slow down, different ways to, you know, be very productive. You know, it's all about the little details in the NFL. And once I learned that, the game definitely slowed down for me.
Has this season and your playing time and everything lived up to your expectations? Is it what you expected?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, you know, I'm out there a lot, you know, playing. So, you know, I was expecting that. You know, I came in, I learned the playbook pretty fast, so I knew coach would give me the opportunity to go out there and, you know, play, get my feet wet. So definitely been playing a lot, you know, and the more you play, the more you see, and the game becomes easier for you.
You can tell that Jameis already has a pretty good connection with Cam, especially in the red zone. That's something you guys, I'm sure, are working on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it comes in at practice, you know, stay behind, just getting that timer down, keep working with him, and then sooner or later, you know, it'll just become natural.
And they've talked so much about your blocking and how incredible that is in general, much less for a rookie, which is usually the area of the game they say they got to work so much on with new guys. So why is that an area that you think you've excelled at so much?
You know, it started with college, but also here. You know, Coach Steele does a great job of every day. We're getting on the boards. We're working footwork drills, hand placement, staying low. So I think every day when you just do it over and over again, it becomes so natural. And, you know, blocking is all about effort. And then you give effort with all that tied in together, you have a pretty good, you know, blocking resume.
In terms of blocking guys, five games in, who's the toughest guy you've had to face so far out on the edge there?
I would definitely say Chandler Jones last week.
I thought you were going to say that.
He was pretty tough. You know, he's really elite pass rusher. Has great hands, great speed. So so far, he's been one of the toughest challenges.
You hear people talk all the time about the transition to the NFL from college, and that usually it is the size and the speed that is shocking. I'm sure you heard that a ton before you came in. Did that prepare you, or even knowing that once you got out there, was it like, oh my gosh, it's even more than I realized?
Yeah, it definitely was more than I realized. You know, in the NFL, it was, you know, guys are big, fast, strong, but they're smart. You know, so I think when you have a guy that's all of it, you know, it's just hard to, you know, just beat him with athletic ability. You have to be smarter than him. You have to use your fundamentals to beat him. So that's what makes it so much different from college.
OJ, this is your first year here, but so you wouldn't necessarily know this. We've never had this many passing yards through the first five games of the season before. I mean, this is kind of unprecedented territory for the Bucs passing game. You could have gone. We all know how the draft went. Nobody would have been surprised if you went anywhere from like five to where you went. You feel good now that you landed in this situation because you're young, Jameis is young, Mike's young. This could last for a long time.
Absolutely. Couldn't be in a better situation. Like you said, young team, you know, we have a lot of potential. You know, we're upcoming. We're working hard every day. You know, the future's bright for us. So, you know, I was definitely excited about it. I was shocked when, you know, I got picked by the bus because I always knew about Jameis. We're from Alabama, and just to be able to play with him, you know, I was happy.
And what did you know about him before you came here, and then what have you learned since?
Competitor. You know, all I saw was, you know, he works hard, you know, his passion on the field, and he was a great quarterback. When I got here, he didn't disappoint. It was the same thing as advertised, and, you know, even better guy. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, just, you know, so amazed to be here.
By the way, Coach said after practice that he's definitely starting on Sunday. He told everybody.
That's good.
So that makes you, I mean, I know how great Fitz did, mm-hmm. and he's an awesome backup to have, but yep. you got to be happy that Jameis is in
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely,
absolutely. So one of my favorite things I hear all the time is people talking about how they think Alabama could play an NFL team. That's the big debate in the sports world, which I'm sure that you've heard of. So now, I think
he's
you're
not
one
exactly
of
unbiased.
I know. Well, but now that you've played at least for Alabama and in the NFL, mm-hmm. and you talked about how big the transition was, what would you say to people who have that argument a few times? Am I putting you in a rough spot here?
No, you're not. Could they play an NFL team? Yeah, they could get out there and play. Could they beat an NFL team? No.
No, all right, so there we go. No, so even the Alabama person understands. But what, I mean, for you coming from there, how much do you feel like that did maybe prepare you even more mm-hmm. for the NFL, playing against guys that if people will even have that conversation, it shows how incredible Alabama has been for so long. So how much did that prepare you, think, as compared to go to maybe a smaller school?
You know, it's huge. It's really... You know, Alabama's, like you said, probably one of the schools. There's a few more out there you have to compare next to, you know, an NFL type of organization. Just the way we practice, the way the coaching staff, you know, treats all the players, it's definitely ran like an NFL organization. And, you know, smaller schools, they work hard also. But it's just different, you know, because of resources that, you know, you have at those big universities.
At this point, though, Alabama's becoming like the Yankees or the Cowboys or like the evil empire for everybody that doesn't like Alabama,
right? No one roots for
them
anymore.
Yeah,
exactly.
You okay with that?
Yeah,
being part of the evil empire?
It's really, you know, a lot of guys used to say on our team, nobody really likes us but us. Yeah. You know? And it's true. But that's what happens when, you know, you win a lot and you're always in the title, you know, every year. People want to see new faces, you know, mm-hmm. try to win it. But, you know, that just says a lot about the way those guys work hard every offseason.
So far, what are the moments in your rookie year that you think are really going to stick out to you mm-hmm. later on in your career, even just after this year, that when you look back as a rookie, what are some of those moments you think that will be very defining moments for you this year?
I was excited about scoring a touchdown. That was cool. But I would have to go with just the growing pains, you know, the things like the moments when your team's down and you see that, when the guys, you know, fight and keep working hard, you can come back. You know, we had those games. You know, we started slow against Arizona, but we kept fighting. Had opportunity to come back against New England, and you know, we just barely missed it. So I think those are the moments that I'm going to look back at and say, hey, the NFL is way different than college. You know, you're never out of a game by a long shot.
Speaking of that, you're right. The comeback in Arizona was impressive, mm-hmm. and it showed you guys fight. But I know I was in the locker room afterwards. Everybody was mad. You guys were mad. You were mm-hmm. angry because you felt – everybody seemed to feel like you didn't start fast enough. You didn't mm-hmm. come out ready. Not putting any words in your mouth. That's just what everybody's saying in the locker room. Right? Do you guys think you've solved that problem?
Yeah, you know, we'll find out on Sunday. Yeah. You know, but everyone knows what it takes. You know, we're professionals. We know we got to come out and start fast. I think coming out Sunday, we're going to tell what everybody thinks. And everybody's focused. You can tell from this week of practice, and we're looking forward to go out and to get started fast.
Yeah, and speaking of Sunday, this is a team that has a pretty serious defense, allowing the fewest points of anybody in the entire league. So now that you have had some days of film study and looking at them, what are the things that they're really doing right that are going to be a challenge for you guys to face?
They're just fundamental. You know, they're always in the right place at the right time. Tip balls, they're intercepting them. They had two of those against the Bengals, so they do a good job of causing turnovers and they don't turn the ball over much on offense. So just overall, they have a really solid team. They play good football. We just got to do a good job of, you know, getting an early jump on them and creating turnovers.
Yeah, you were talking about the tight end room, or I was, and Cam Brate. What about Luke Stocker? He's a guy who's been one of the longest tenured guys on the team, and he plays kind of a role that people don't hear about him much, blocking. But how much has he helped you?
Tremendously. Luke's just another coach out there on the field, basically. You know, he knows the X's and O's. He knows any little detail you need to get an advantage on an opponent. He's just been very helpful to me. You know, he does a lot. That, like you said, a lot of people don't see, but he's definitely up there as one of the greatest teammates.
Yeah, what would you want people to say about you in your career, like whenever the end of it comes, a long time from now? What kind of player are you wanting people to remember you as?
Definitely, you know, legendary. You know, that's the goal. You know, I just want to be remembered as he was one of the greatest to do it at his position. Uh-huh. I think if you don't have that goal in your mind, what are you playing for? So that's just my mindset, and I think definitely have a long way to go before I get there, but I'm definitely not going to stop till it happens.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Good luck this Sunday. You. Stick with us. We still have two segments. One's getting to your Twitter questions. Use that hashtag BucksLive, and we'll be right back.
I don't know nobody's going to let another man walk in their house and take something from them. So take that to heart. This is personal to me.
We call this the jungle, man. This our house today, man. Let's be great, man. Let's be great. Let's go. Let's get it in, man.
Be legendary today. Yes, don't forget, this is our house. Yes, this is our house. Yes,
Now takes the snap, looks to his right, look, crossing route, throw, caught ball, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hit the back, drop. It's a Lavonte David quarterback sack, his second of the game.
Let's make it count, we're past the 50, okay?
Big Winston looking. James is going to run to the left of the 10. He throws to the inside, touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Attack, technique, and takeaways. Got it?
It's picked off. Intercepted at the 30. To the 25, to the 20. Quan Alexander will take it to the house. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. We just had O.J. Howard on first segment. If you missed that, we will be posting it later on Buccaneers.com, and it was great. He is just such a great guy and turning out to be, I mean, exactly the player that they'd hoped he'd be. You know, the fact that we'd talked about the true Y tight end of being able to receive, being able to block, and you can tell he takes a lot of pride in that.
Well, that's why I asked him about that, his expectations, because I remember when we were playing the Giants, and the Giants, I was doing an interview with Giants media, and they're like, our tight end, Evan Engram, who was taken two or three picks later, has this many catches, and OJ only has this many catches, and I'm like, you guys don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
He's playing more snaps than any other tight end we got. He's, you know, we also got Cam Brate, who's a proven threat, as we are seeing, four straight games with a touchdown, but he's blocking phenomenally. He's going to continue to develop into a bigger part of the passing game, but he's always on the field.
It's incredible.
And every time we have two tight ends, he's one of them.
Yeah, and you're never sitting there saying, oh, man, that play was OJ's fault. I mean, he's not missing these big blocks. He's not,
no,
I mean, just how consistent and solid his performance is. Yep. And to be out there as often as he is as a rookie, you would expect that we would have had these moments of, oh, there's one of those rookie moments, and you just don't
he's
see
done well.
That. It's
he's
amazing.
Done and it's the first time we've had a guest on our Friday show in weeks, right, because we've had weird schedules.
Yeah, it's been a really weird schedule.
So maybe this will be a good omen for
the
us.
Good omen that he'll have that great game this Sunday. Okay, so obviously the big news that happened right before we came on here was Dirk Koetter saying that Jameis Winston will be the starter this week. Now, first of all, are you surprised he just came out? I was too, and it's funny because I actually was on Fox Orlando yesterday and was like, I don't think we're going to know until the game. Coach doesn't like to say injury things if he doesn't have to, and then
I was surprised.
Shows what we know.
I was surprised yesterday when he said during his post-practice press conference that, no, James didn't throw today, but he's going to take all the first-team reps tomorrow. And we're all like, wow, he just volunteered that information.
Yeah.
Because you got to assume if he's taking every rep of the first team on Friday, if he looks fine and there's no setback, that's your guy for Sunday.
Right.
It makes sense logically, and we could have said that logically, but fortunately for us, coach just went ahead and told us.
Yeah, which is great.
He said, yeah, Jameis is starting on Sunday.
So much for all of our prognosticating we were going to do today on, well, if it's Jameis, well, if it's Fitzpatrick.
So we need to cut the show short.
I know. This was our whole plan today, was to discuss this. So, but knowing that it is Jameis and knowing, obviously, we don't really know what percent he will be. Do you think that there is any change in the game plan? Do you think it's just a normal week that he wouldn't go if he couldn't do it?
Yeah, it's a little tricky here because, yes, I do think they would consider playing Jameis if he was like 90% of Jameis. But I don't think that's the way they're looking at it. I think they feel like he's ready to go, period. And we're not worried about percentages, and they're not worried about we can do this, but we can't do that. I'm sure they wouldn't have him out there. If he, in fact, coach was asked, can he make all the throws? And he said, yeah, he can make all the throws. Okay. So he's just, it's just regular Jameis.
Right,
he
regular
got through Jameis. He got through this, you know, less than a week shoulder problem, and he's fine.
Which is awesome. The greatest news I'm sure that everybody has been hoping to hear, which
yeah, the,
is awesome.
Well, the good news in this particular case was I don't think anybody felt too terrible about it if Ryan would have had to start a game, Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he did so well in Arizona.
Which is great.
And he's familiar with Buffalo.
Yeah, that's
like
very
his longest
true.
Stretch up there. So, but, you know, everybody wants their starters in there. So it's certainly no knock on Ryan Fitzpatrick, but everybody's happy that Jameis is playing.
So now that we know a little bit more about what that offense is going to look like, and knowing we talked a little bit about this with OJ, that Buffalo's defense has just looked incredible this year, and a lot of people didn't know to expect that because there was so much turnover with it. And then you have, you know, Micah Hyde having the leading the league with four interceptions already so far. They have a +8 turnover differential. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier this week, and the amazing part of all that is that entire starting secondary, which is responsible for all 8 interceptions, is brand new this year. Tre'Davious White, the first-round rookie, is one of the corners. E.J. Gaines, they got in the Sammy Watkins trade, and both of their safeties, Micah Hyde, as you mentioned, and Jordan Poyer, were free agent acquisitions this year. And that's fine. I'm sure they expected good things from each individual player. But how many times have we seen that, where you turn over an entire unit? You don't expect it to gel and work together.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But I was talking to Coach Cutter about this yesterday, and he said, well, don't forget, a lot of that is because of how well their defensive line is playing. So they're affecting quarterbacks and pressuring them into bad throws that have become those tip passes in some cases. And that's where you're absolutely right that most of this defense has been remade in the last 2 years in the back seven. But the defensive line is Marcell Dareus and Kyle Williams and Jerry Hughes, and those guys have been there for a long time. So they do have some continuity there. And as is often the case, even when you see these great stats from the secondary, it starts up front.
Okay, and so knowing what we see with that, what do you think our offense is going to be able to do to really exploit that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility that this is going to be strength on strength, because as we've been talking about lately, the offensive line for the Buccaneers is playing very well. They really are, and that's especially in pass protection. So that doesn't mean they'll win this battle necessarily, but they have a shot to win this battle against a good defensive line. And if they do that and they give Jameis time to throw, I think we'll be fine. Teams have been able to throw the ball, gain some yards on Buffalo. It's just that they come up with these interceptions and they really tighten up in the red zone.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So I think there's still the possibility of moving the ball. And also, as we've seen weeks on end, we look at a stat sheet and expect something to happen, and it tends to be the
Everything
opposite.
Is entirely different. Yeah. So now looking at the flip side of things, we know, obviously, the Bucs defense, especially this last week, did not do what they think they're capable of, expect themselves to do. And Buffalo's offense also seems to have really been struggling in a lot of ways. That, you know, when you look at their offensive stats and you see they're 3-2, that's when you realize how good their defense has been playing.
Right.
And they also don't turn the ball over. They've only turned it over twice on offense. So that's a pretty incredible statistic. What do you see that they're offense has been doing right and wrong that how this could affect our defense?
Yeah, well, look at our offense. We're getting almost exactly 300 passing yards a game, but not running it as well as we'd want, and not doing well in the red zone, and turning it over a few more times than we want to. As Coach Cutter said, there's a lot of different ways to run this, to do it, to set up your offense and your team. And the Bills don't have the same type of offense that we've been seeing the last few games. They've got a more conservative attack. The receivers haven't been involved much at all. The tight end and the running back have, although Charles Clay, the tight end, might not be able to play in this game. It all goes through LeSean McCoy. But like you said, they don't turn the ball over. They do well in the red zone. They don't hurt themselves very much. So it's what a lot of guys around here were saying last year when things were going well, complementary football. No, the offense is not piling up tons of yards, but the defense – but they're not putting the defense in bad situations by turning the ball over. The defense is getting them the ball back, and it all works together. So, and then, of course, you have Tyrod Taylor. Like you said, the numbers aren't there for their offense, but this is still a guy that can escape and has a really strong arm. So he's still a guy that can hit you with a big play at any time.
And then, you know, LeSean McCoy, somebody that people have probably heard of. Not only is he their leading rusher, he's also their leading pass catcher, because their wide receiver situation has been a struggle.
Right.
Now, they might be getting Matthews back. They're not, you know, we're waiting to hear on the injury report there. They did sign Deontay Thompson. So do you think it's going to be a situation where all of a sudden the wide receiver group does look a little bit better? Or do you think this is still going to be a LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, you got to assume the whole thing's going to go through LeSean McCoy. And it's neat that he's their leading receiver. But right now, he's only averaging 3.2 yards per carry and 7 yards per catch. And he doesn't have a touchdown yet. So those aren't LeSean McCoy numbers.
Right.
Now, he was really good last year. So just like we just faced Adrian Peterson, if you're a betting man or a betting woman, you would probably say, I expect LeSean McCoy to look like real LeSean McCoy. But, you know, I do think it does simplify things a little bit. you know that's the guy you got to stop.
Yep, that's very true. All right, we still have one more segment coming up, which is going to be getting to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay, the Bucks know how to shine. Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Stand up.
Give a cheer for the Buccaneers.
Go Bucks!
Because we know we're on the top.
We stand up.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Insider Live, presented by Miller Lite. Casey Phillips and Scott Smith here. Time to get to your Twitter questions. You can keep sending those in. Use that hashtag BucksLive. All right, our first one comes from Mark. He says, do you think Smith will give some more help to Vernon Hargraves from the safety on that side? Because it seems like opposing teams are throwing his way a lot.
Well, I don't think that's because of the scheme, though. I don't think that's because he's not getting help over there. That would have been a pretty easy fix if the reason there have been struggles the last couple games was because he was being thrown at because there was no safety over there. We would have just fixed that problem.
Right.
Vernon was asked about this in the locker room this week. Credit to him because, you know, he's taken some criticism that he didn't shy away from any of the questions. And so we don't have to put any words in his mouth. I can just tell you what he said. He said he has to make plays. He says, I'm not making plays, so of course I'm going to get criticized. And he was asked if he needed to play aggressively, and he said absolutely. So, I mean, that's kind of the story there. And he knows it. This team still wants him to succeed, so they're going to do everything they can to help him succeed, and I think he's pretty motivated right now to turn this around.
Mm-hmm. At Shug Smith said, I've blamed the defense for getting down in games, but isn't part of the problem that the offense isn't answering scores by the opponent?
Yeah, and we've seen that in a couple games. I mean, a great example was Minnesota, where they came flying out of the gate. The Vikings did. It felt a lot like that Arizona game at the beginning, that just like we couldn't stop their offense, and that's bad for the defense, absolutely. But in that Vikings game, it was 14-3, and we had a shot to make it 14-10 with the big ball to Deshaun. Instead, it was a bad throw and is intercepted. They drove from there and got a touchdown. That his point is 100% correct, and I guarantee you the guys on offense would say exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a little bit of that in the Arizona game as well. In that case, it was just simply – it was just sluggish to begin with. I mean, they were making some plays, getting the ball across midfield, but then you couldn't convert a third down, couldn't even quite get in field goal range, and just, you know, and when the offense is giving the ball right back, there's an opportunity for it to snowball like it did.
Okay. Paul says, confused about why we let Jaquie Smith go. What do you think was the thinking behind that?
Well, there can really only be one reason. He obviously wasn't able to perform at the level he needed to be to stay on the roster. The numbers that the defensive end position are generating, as Mike Smith said this week, are not acceptable. That's not what we need, and I'm sure that's the impetus of that question right there. But the personnel numbers, the depth of number of players that we have at that position is fine. It's normal. There's four or five of them. And clearly, Jack Hayes was at this point, this year, at that point in his career, not able to perform as well as the other guys, and so he was the most expendable one. And that's really a shame, because one has to assume that this is the product of his injury and his difficult time coming back from it, because he was a very useful pass rusher for 2 years. And we went into last year with him being our main designated pass rusher to start the season, and then he immediately had the injury. I think Jack Hayes has had some pretty terrible luck.
Yeah, that's very true. Brandon wanted to know, do you think that Coach Cutter should not be focusing on play calling while also focusing on everything else? Would it be easier if someone else took over that job?
I don't know. I mean, sure. I mean, logically, it would be easier for him to do whatever other activities he's trying to do on game day if he wasn't doing one more thing. But what is it that he's lacking on doing? Is he not motivating the players well enough? What's the intimation here that we're lacking because he's focusing on this and not other things? I don't know what that thing would be, you know. And I think at this point, his proven play calling is probably important to this team. It's not something I would like to see go away. It's something that I think he's doing well. So take away something that he's doing well for potential gains at other areas, I don't think it makes logical sense.
Okay. Matthew said, I heard a stat that Jameis has only converted 3 opening drives for touchdowns since he's been here. And his question is sort of, why do you think that is? So I don't know if you've seen that same stat or not to know for sure.
I hadn't seen that stat. It doesn't surprise me. But the only reason I don't particularly like that question is because it says Jameis hasn't converted an opening drive. That's the whole offense.
Right.
And actually, quite honestly, if I were sitting at my computer, it'd be pretty easy to look this up quickly. But I don't think that's something the Buccaneers have done for a long time now. And that goes well before we drafted Jameis Winston. That is something the whole team needs to get better at. 100%, absolutely. And there's something to be said that Jameis has had a number of games where he started out slowly before really picking it up. But when you talk about that stat, let's remember this is a full team, a full offense. It's not just one guy.
You always hear about that with quarterbacks getting too much credit and too much blame.
Yeah.
And that's usually seems like how it goes.
Well, I would just say the whole team is not starting fast enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Alan wanted to know, what is going on with Vernon? It seems like he's playing so far off the ball. And he says, in my opinion, he needs to be in the slot if he's going to be playing that way. What would be your opinion?
Well, that I don't know how that makes sense. I think everybody agrees that he needs to play more aggressively. He said so himself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, aggressively, one would assume part of being more aggressive is playing closer to the line, giving less of a cushion. I mean, that just seems logical, right?
Right.
I don't think anybody specifically said that. Mike Smith has said that the cornerbacks are given a little bit of range. They want him to line up, and I'm making up the numbers here, but on this given play, they might say, we want you to line up between 4 and 6 yards deep or something. So he has a little bit of leeway to choose there, and I think they would like him to choose to play a little more up. Putting him in the slot, I don't think you generally play farther off the ball when you're in the slot. I think you generally play closer to the guy when you're in the slot, especially if it's a smaller guy that maybe you're trying to jam at the line of scrimmage. So I think Vernon's future is on the outside, not in the slot.
Okay. Keith wanted to know, because the Bills are so run-focused and LeSean McCoy will be such a big part of it, do you think that it might make more sense to have Kendall Beckwith in there more often because of his size as compared to Levante and Kwon, who are more of the pass-defending
Well,
guys?
Kwon is a very, very, very good tackler. He's been our leading tackler for the last couple of years. Levante's a very good tackler. I mean, yes, Kendall is bigger than those two, but those two are proven good run stoppers. A. B, Kendall Beckwith will be out there on the field as the Sam linebacker. And I know I've said on many occasions that can be anywhere from 40 to 60% of the snaps. This is a team you would expect to be in base personnel a lot more because they just don't have much of a threat at wide receiver. And one of their tight ends is down, maybe, Charles Clay. So going into this game, logically you would think they would be in a base set on offense more than most of the opponents we face, which means Kendall will be on the field. All three of them will be on the field.
That's true.
So it's really the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's true. Taylor said, do you think that you see them using the two-point conversion again, or do you think that that was just last game and the situation? Do you think that we'll see Murray a whole lot more?
Yeah, the 4 2-point conversion attempts, one of which was successful in Arizona, were all motivated by game situation and strategy. It had nothing whatsoever to do with Patrick Murray. They're not worried at all about him being able to make the extra points. So it's just going to be a game situation. And generally, unless you get in a situation we did or it's late in the game and you're doing the math, generally you just take the extra point, and that's what we'll do, I'm sure. Sure of it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today on Buccaneers Insider Live presented by Miller Lite. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you 75 minutes before kickoff on the road in Buffalo. Make sure you join us then. You can always keep sending in those questions to us. Use that hashtag BucksLive. Have a great weekend.